CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we go to the surface of the planet Mars, Jezero Crater, and trouble. Big trouble. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Bob has underlined to me, this is extremely challenging. It's brave little flying toaster ingenuity. Bob, what's happened? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it appears a few, about a week ago, they lost contact with Ingenuity. It had completed on April 29th its 28th flight, flying about 1,300 feet again, landing near the Delta where Perseverance is now working its way along the base. And then they lost contact. And so they decided on May 4th, the day after they lost contact, that they would stop all science operations on Perseverance and just have it sit there, and the only thing it would do is listen for Ingenuity. They suspect that the reason they lost contact is because the clocks on both Perseverance and the helicopter are supposed to be synchronized, and so that Perseverance doesn't spend all this time listening. It just it turns on its listening mode only when it knows it's supposed to be, Ingenuity is going to contact it. But when it did that, there was no contact. So obviously they suspected that the clocks were out of sync, which was the case. And so they had Perseverance listen for a period of time, almost the whole day, until finally it got contact from Ingenuity, and they reestablished contact, figured out that, yes, the clocks were out of sequence, and they got the clock on Ingenuity, I think, rescheduled again to be in sync. But the reason that happened is because, quote, they suspect that the helicopter had entered, quote, a low-power state, potentially due to the seasonal increase in the amount of dust in the Martian atmosphere and lower temperatures as the winter approaches, close quote. Now, in the winter, you get more dust storms, so you get less light hitting the solar panels that Ingenuity depends on. You also have more dust. Dust settles on the solar panels, and it loses power. It doesn't get as much power. And so apparently, the low power state caused the clock to get out of sync and lose contact. They got the contact back, but the low power is now a serious problem. Its batteries are no longer fully charged. It means it doesn't have enough power to heat it enough during the cold winter nights that exist now in Jezero Crater. So many of its parts are off-the-shelf parts, not designed. They were never intending to fly it this long into the winter months of Mars. And so those parts, if they get cold, they will freeze up. And they will not function anymore. This is kind of a variation of what happened to Opportunity during a major dust storm. Once it didn't get enough power, it's kind of like, it's a variation on when your car loses all its oil, the engine freezes up if it's a functioning. Well, this is not the same thing, but if things are not kept warm, the equipment freezes and it doesn't recover. And so what they're doing right now, they've established a plan to try to get the batteries back up to full charge. But it means their heaters will no longer attempt to warm the helicopter as much. In other words, if they try to keep the helicopter warm over the night like they normally would, the batteries won't get fully charged again. And so they have to cut back on the heating to bring the batteries up to full charge. But that means they're risking the spacecraft itself. And that's where we stand right now. We do not know yet how this is going to play out. Since the thing is still functioning, there's a good chance that the batteries charged again. But once again, the low light situation of winter, the cold temperatures of winter, and the increased dust of winter all conspire to make Ingenuity's future dim.
No pun intended. Is it close to Perseverance?
Actually, Perseverance has been slowly moving towards it, but not because it was trying to get to it, but because on its last flight, Ingenuity landed close to the Delta that once flowed into Jezero Crater. And Perseverance was against the base of that same Delta, but further to the southwest. And what Perseverance has been doing as part of its science operation, once it got to the western end of the base of that delta, it's been moving back along the base to the east. So it's been approaching where Ingenuity landed as it's been doing its basic science work. Let's see if I can take a quick look. Yes, give me a second here. Right now, as of today, The two objects are about, about 800 meters. What is that? That's about 2,000 feet away from each other. Clearest line of sight, so communications are good. Now the situation is back under control where they've got communications when they want it. Perseverance is going to continue to do its science, but as it does so, it will be working its way towards engineering, and we'll get close to it. And I'm going to be on the lookout for images, because for sure Perseverance is going to be able to get a picture of Ingenuity as it approaches it. If they don't get it up to power, it's done.
Perseverance is, you indicate that there is significance in the fact that the dust diminishes the amount of sunlight hitting the solar array. Thus, you know, that they need that to repower. Does Perseverance have an arm that could clean off the solar arrays, anything like that?
No. Actually, if Ingenuity can get flying again, Ingenuity has got the technology to blow the dust off its solar array. Remember, it has propellers. And so the propellers, once it flies, once it got power enough to fly again, I'm sure the flight itself would clean the solar panels off. How it got into this low power state is probably a combination of the winter temperatures, which required more heat to keep it warm, which means it burnt more energy, the increased amount of dust in the atmosphere, which doesn't mean the solar panels are covered with dust. It means they're just not getting as much light. And then in the winter, the sun itself is lower on the horizon. You don't get as much light anyway. So all those things combined meant it had limited power. Remember, it was never designed to work more than 30 days in the summer of Mars. It's now a year later. Mars's year is 2 years long. It started out in the summer. It's now in the winter. And this is not something it was expected to survive. It's done amazing considering how long it lasted, but we are facing the reality of the technology.
News from InSight in its last days. What have we learned, Bob?
Well, InSight is the lander managed to successfully deploy a seismometer onto the surface of Mars to detect earthquakes. And in the, almost 4 years it's been functioning, 3.5 years it's been functioning, it's detected about 1,300 quakes on Mars. On March 4th, it detected its largest earthquake yet, a magnitude 5 earthquake. The previous strongest one was 4.1. And so the scientists are still analyzing the data, so we do not yet know where on Mars that quake was. We'll find out momentarily, I'm sure. But the timing of that earthquake was very fortunate, because only 3 days later, the power being generated by InSight's dust-covered solar panels dropped too low, and the lander went into safe mode. This InSight's got a variation of the same problem that Ingenuity's got, but InSight was designed to last through the winter, assuming its solar panel didn't get covered with dust. And now we're into the winter months. There's less light. There's more dust in the air. But over the 3.5 years that InSight's been on the Martian surface, dust has accumulated on its solar panel. And now with the earlier rovers like Opportunity and Spirit, what scientists found routinely was that dust devils nearby would blow the dust off and extend the life of the rovers. And it worked very well with Spirit Opportunity. They were supposed to last 90 days. One lasted a dozen years. So the expectation would be that just periodically wind would blow the dust off of InSight solar panels. That hasn't happened. And so InSight right now has very little power. It barely has enough to work the seismometer. Right now it's in safe mode, which means it's not running the seismometer shortly after that detection. And whether it can come out of safe mode right now is unknown. It's got an extension to the end of the year, but scientists were truly expecting this thing to fail, shut down for good before the end of the year. And we might be looking at that right now, John. That's the story.
We leave Jezero Crater and the struggles of Ingenuity and the doggedness of Perseverance to go to the original rover on the surface of Mars. This is Gale Crater's Curiosity. Bob often puts up pictures, photographs, so that you can see the alien terrain where Curiosity is still climbing. Yes, Bob?
Yes. Well, they actually retreated, went downhill. You might remember, your listeners might remember, and my readers on Behind the Black might remember, that they've been trying to cross a very rough terrain called the Greenhoo Pediment, and they found it was just too rough on the wheels. So they retreated off of that over the last few weeks. And then the question has been, where are they going to go from there? And they're going to continue to try to go uphill, but they had not yet published the planned revised route. But it's now becoming clear where they're going to at least go. When they retreated off the Greenhoo Pediment, they dropped down to something called Gordon Notch, into a hollow a region, a little valley that I've dubbed Gordon Notch Hollow. It's a region they had already explored. And it's basically a hollow between a bunch of different hills with gaps in between. Nothing here very big. You're talking about several hundred feet high. At most, more like 50 feet high. And, you know, the whole canyon itself is only about 500 feet wide, 300 feet wide, and about 1,000 feet long. But they're trying to find a way uphill. They picked, apparently, the way uphill, and I've got a panorama on Behind the Black showing that route where they're now pushing uphill out. And it's very steep. They've actually had a few times where the rover did not complete its planned drive because the steepness in the rocks, it detected it wasn't right, and so it stopped. But they're pushing their way uphill, and this is definitely not, even though it's rough ground, it's nothing like the Greenhoo Pediment. And so they're going to proceed uphill. And the next question, of course, is where they'll go from there. I don't know yet. I know their long-term planned route, and I've got a map on Behind the Black showing this, but I'm not sure how they're going to get to that original planned route. They might go to the west, or they might go straight south to it. We don't know. We'll have to see. Either way, it's continuing to operate over very, very, very rough terrain and quite spectacular scenery.
Bobby, the climb following the red dots looks very steep. Is that an illusion, or is that?
No, that's not an illusion. Not an illusion at all. This is the navigation camera, so you're not seeing a lot of distortion in the picture. It is a steep rise. I do not know what the grade is, but I suspect it's between 5 and 10% grade, based on previous situations
we've
been in.
That
is
challenging.
It's steep.
Yeah, that it challenges.
It's not something that Perseverance cannot do. It absolutely can do. It's been doing it almost routinely now since it entered the mountains almost 2 years ago. Obviously, it's not simple, and so they're moving forward slowly.
We go from curiosity to now mystery streaks on the surface of Mars. What are you assuming, Bob?
Well, all right, I've got a picture on Behind the Black of slope streaks. The slope streaks I've written about a bunch of different times. They are one of the mysteries of Mars. They are a geological formation that does not exist anywhere else. It's only a Martian event. When you look at a slope streak on Mars, it looks like a dark, sometimes dark, mostly dark, sometimes bright, avalanche that flowed down a slope. But the problem is that there's zero change in the topography. You know, when you see an avalanche on Earth, it means rocks have flowed down the hillside, and you've gotten the whole topography changes along the line of the avalanche, including have a big pile of debris at the bottom. There's none of that here. It's just basically an avalanche stain down the slope, and that's all it is. And it sometimes goes uphill a little bit and then down again, but it's only like a stain. And they don't really know what causes these things. The two previous theories had to do with a dust avalanche or a percolation of brine going down the surface of the slope. Neither theory is proven. Neither theory fits all the facts. Well, I have a post on Behind the Black of a new theory, a third theory. This one has to do with frost on Mars. Carbon dioxide frost. Frost develops at the nighttime, and it appears, they think, develop under the surface, not on the surface. So you don't see it in images. You see it in thermal images. And it's mixed with dust, so it can happen in low latitudes with not a lot of heat, not a lot of water, and there's too much warmth for carbon dioxide to remain as frost. But the dust mixed in with it holds it together. But when the morning sunlight hits it, it sublimates away, and the dust then is disturbed. And they think that disturbance in this new theory is what causes the slope streaks. It's a nice theory. We'll have to wait and see.
Yes. The colonies will answer these questions. Bob Zimmerman, yes. He keeps the website Behind the Black. We can all light a candle for Ingenuity. The scientists who run Ingenuity, the engineers, they're geniuses. They've come out of many fixes that were looking like the end of an experiment. So we'll look for the next report from Bob. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.